I don't even know where to begin a week with your youth. Praise God. I don't know if it's the mantra, the motto, the slogan, the theme, the call you back to tension. Well, flexibility. This mission trip was brought to you by the word flexibility. So we'll be right. Be flexible, and then we're just going to be flexible and leave off the other one. So they did great. They did awesome. We'll use those words. Get them out of the way. Now they're used up. It was exciting to watch each one of our youth step beyond their realm of comfort, their boundaries of safety, and to step out in faith, serve God, serve each other, serve the church that we were at. It was just exciting and a blessing to be a part of the trip. I got to say also to the congregation, we are, as a church, blessed to have Pastor Peter on staff, pouring and investing his life to our youth. The flexibility thing for the team got challenged day one. Well, day two, because we got there a day early. We had, in the training, there was rules for, like, cell phone, what could be used, what couldn't be used. So Peter had, in the training, gone over that material. And then we get to there, and the other teams were supposed to show up. We were supposed to have a leadership, Peter knows this, we were supposed to have a leadership meeting with the bump leadership, the other two youth groups that were there, and Pastor Peter. One of the teams was late. They got stuck in traffic. So we didn't have that time to talk. So then we get to the orientation with the bump leader now speaking to all these youth, and the bump leader in the middle of this station says, there will be no cell phones. And it was like the flexibility just got a little rigid in the room. And not just from our youth, it was from other youth. But, you know, I watched Pastor Peter in the post-meeting, the leadership, go to bat for our youth. Go to bat and show his passion, caring for our youth family, this church, and really stepped up. And I'm just, that's just one little way that he was there for our youth. One little thing that he did, and just over and over again. Pastor Peter, thank you for your service to our church. Let's give him a hand. And I understand the all-nighter thing. I was sleeping on a floor in a church. It was nearly an all-nighter. What was that? I had an air mattress. Yes, there is wisdom that comes with these old hair, gray hairs. We're going to do something a little different this morning, but it does come, it's biblical. We want to do things that are biblical. If you would, if you have your Bibles handy, if you go ahead and open to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're in the series, What Did Jesus Do? We're looking at different things that Jesus did that we should model. And this morning, we're actually going to look at it and put it in practice, what Jesus did. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It's interesting, he called them. Each one of these youth were called out to go on this mission, or called out and said, look, come. They were given authority and power by the Holy Spirit, by this church. When they had the commissioning service, that was the authority that was given to them to represent Christ in this church there in Baltimore. And they were sent out into a community where just picking up trash could be a witness. And a powerful way of not just with words, but words were spoken. They were able to share the gospel, but to proclaim the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus. Verse 6 says, and they went out from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. They watch our youth, hug little kids, play games with little kids, and beat each other up with pool in the name of Jesus. You know, and just, we went, I'll let them share where we went, but every place they went in service history, they proclaimed the gospel of Christ. I give test their faithfulness. But then it says there in verse 10, After Jesus sent the 12 out, they went out. He called them, gave them authority, gave them a mission to claim the gospel. They went out and did it. And then in verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. And that's what we would like to do this morning, is to follow this example of disciple making. Is you call them out, you send them out, and then you get them to report back what they've done. Celebrate together with the Lord. So we're going to let the youth go first, but I also want to challenge our congregation. They're not the only disciples here. They're not the only ones that are called by God to proclaim the gospel of Christ. They're not the only ones that are sent out to heal. We all are. We all are. When we leave this church each day, we should be about proclaiming the gospel of Christ. So the youth this morning are going to give first shot at sharing just whatever they want about the trip. We're not going to force them or manipulate them or guilt them into, come on, guys, and they're waiting. No, we're not going to do that. But we want to let them share. But I'm going to give you a chance to start thinking about, how has God used you? Where are you seeing God at work? You know, we used to say, testify. Can anybody testify? So this morning, I want people to be able to testify about what God is doing, where he's at work, and give glory to God and be encouraged. Because a part of this disciple process, coming like Christ, is learning what others are doing and be encouraged, spurred on by you. So I want to just give you that food for thought so you start that. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Peter in the youth group.
Check, check.
There it is.
So I'm going to pass the mic over to Noah. And he is asked to go first, and I'm just going to let the students share whatever they feel was important to that happened to them. When they're done, when they get to a place where I know I've either stretched them that much further than they've already been stretched, or whatever the case would be, then I'll just kind of try and tie it all together at the end.
Good morning. At Bump, I had a good time. It might have been more of a challenge than us. No pun intended. They challenge you spiritually, followed up with push you to, by the way that Bump pushed you to do things and made sure you did them, made sure you got out of your car. I didn't like it at first, but I can tell now that it was really good for me. I don't know anybody else. It helped. And going and talking to people you didn't know, praying with them, talking to people barely hear you or barely reply back. When we went to the nursing home, we had people like that. And prayer walking, know that our group didn't get to go prayer walking but we got to stay back in the sanctuary there and pray just for the neighborhoods and the churches and stuff. And that was good too. It was a good time to get in touch with the Lord, cover everything, make sure we were staying in prayer. And we got to form really great relationships while we were on the trip. There were plenty of people that we were with. We got to meet first time and people that we got to meet again. And so that was really good. Got to hear from people, hear their testimonies, they had to say. And got really close with Nate, Alex, and Blake. And as people have said, maybe a little too close. And another guy, Louise, he was a guy from Staten Island in New York. He was with us, and he was really cool and funny. So, yeah, had a good time. Got to see a lot of good things happen. And just keep the church and the kids and the people at Baltimore in prayer. That was important to hear people, because they still need prayer and they still need help. Because even though the kids heard us and they said they believe in God and they give their life to Christ, you know, things happen and they may not have completely understood what they were signing up for. They still need prayer, and we could tell, but we hope that we made enough of an impact on them. So, yeah, that's it.
I know while they're doing this, there's going to be some, wow, that's kind of cool. How did you do that? Kenzie's dancing. I like that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're going to just keep going here. I'm just going to sit off to the side. So, Nate, were you going to go ahead and go? Do you want to go now? Is there somebody else here who wants to go? Tony, kind of move. Olivia?
I'm going to go from kind of bad to good. Like Noah and I think quite a few other people, I was not very happy the first night when Bump officially started. They told us all these rules, like, you don't have cell phones at all, no electronics. You have to take a 5-minute shower, which includes shower and mop the floor because the shower leaks. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I can't hair wet in 5 minutes. But it was definitely a God thing. He kept me there, and like, I kind of prayed about it, and I knew that I needed to try to stick it out. And I'm so glad I did, because it helped a lot. As the week went on, it got better and better. And I know I would have regretted it if I hadn't stayed. Everybody would come home and, oh, it was so great. And I'd be like, yeah. So I'm really glad that I did stay there, and it was amazing. A couple of things that really stood out to me was there were so many people there that just love to sing. There were girls and guys just walking down the hallways singing. And we had a little worship circle before dinner. I sang with them a couple of times. And it was just so great to relate to these teens and just sit down and start singing. And it was just, we got such great bonds with everyone. There was a girl that came to VBS. What? One of the girls that came to VBS, her name was Deja. She was 11. She came a little bit early for VBS one night. It was right after Worship Circle had ended. People had been sharing a lot, and it was very emotional. I was crying, as were several others. She came up to me, and she hadn't even been there during the Worship Circle. She didn't know what had been said, but she came up to me, and she hugged me, and she said, "Please stop crying. I love you. I don't want you to be sad." And that was the sweetest thing. I was like, she didn't even know what was wrong with me, and she just loved me just because she knew I needed that. I cried even harder, but I told her at that point it wasn't because I was sad. I was crying because I realized how much all of us love each other, how much people love me, and it was really, really powerful to learn that.
Do what? Okay, all right.
The biggest thing, I met an old man, and he wasn't a resident of the, but he was there all the time, and he said it's because of his wife, been there, and he said he comes to her every single day. That's basically entire life. All he does, he gets up and he stays up to the point that he tried to leave the day before the nurse had stopped it because they thought he was a resident. And to me, that's just like the most powerful dedication. It's all in us as far as somebody that dedicated give you that much, and that's what you.
Thank you, Anna. Some of you, well, I don't want to steal her thunder. Tracy's been incredible. I'm serious. In stepping up, some of you don't realize how much we stretched her, and some of you do. So those of you that know Tracy, so I want to make sure that you all know how much I thank her for coming on this trip, how incredibly flexible she was, and just kept on going, even when I knew deep inside she was ready to burst at the seams. So I'm going to let you go ahead and go.
I've never been on a mission. Wow, fun. Peter says, "You want to drive to Baltimore?" I'm like, no. I drove to Columbus maybe twice, Cleveland once, and that's all. I stay in my... But by the time I left Poirier, car, I remember sitting there, I looked at Shelby, I'm like, I can... And I found this week, the power of God is really awesome because I didn't drive to Baltimore. He did because I wouldn't have done it without him. And we had good weather and we had good traffic, you know, less traffic. Well, yeah. I stayed with him. I'm like, I'm going to hug his butt all the way there.
She was a little close sometimes.
Because I had no idea where I was going. But, and we went and we done things. I never been to a nurse. My grandparents died when I was young. And in a soup kitchen. I mean, we done all these things. It's like, I don't know what I was thinking, you know, as we heard Baltimore. And I got there and we done these things. It's like, we can do this at home, you know? And it's not, it wasn't that bad. I enjoyed, you know, the soup kitchen at home. And it was good. And we had a lot of fun. And my relationship, God just went to a whole new level. Wow, power he's got. You just believe. And I did. And he got me there, and he got me home, even with him in the car. It's okay, Amanda. But I just want to say, you know, this group that you have is just awesome. You know, they got up bright and early. Everybody's alarm, ding, 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 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, you push through the 5-minute shower, which, wow, that's really... And, you know, and they got through the aches, pains, floor, and they went and they done all these service, and pushed through the day with a smile on their face, regardless of feeling. And I'm just proud of you guys. And I just, you guys made my week all that much. So, thanks.
Everybody's looking at Nate.
I didn't want to start because I wouldn't be able to stop. But how do you describe a week where you could see God... everything around, and you can actually presence through sweating, kids jumping, throwing water balloons at, cooking hot dogs over a burning grill. Oh, hold the mic up. Okay. The week, I think what made my week, at the beginning I didn't really like the idea. They put us in these things called family groups, and I was like, I don't think you're ever going to be part of my family here, people. Like, but about after the first, I don't know, 10 minutes, we had to come up with a team name. And I think that right there forced us to use teamwork. My group came up with a very innovative name called Shelgenek, It means be flexible. we basically took all the team little first letter of each person's name and made a shoulder neck. It means be flexible. Be flexible with it. Just go with it. And throughout the week, I was with a group of people who love God and were willing to use the love He's given us to love people. And to see these other people, I have no idea who they are, be willing to work with me and go out and share the gospel to anyone and everyone, although it may be awkward, prayer walking, walking down the street, praying for houses, walking up on porch, handing out flyers for VBS, to see the faces of people when you stand beside to pray with them. It's just incredible. I got to pray with an older woman who... she could hear you. She would nod her head. She had no idea what you were saying. Her daughter was standing beside her, saying, go ahead and talk to her and believe that she... And I was able to pray for their family. The daughter was in tears. She said, to see somebody that I don't even know care is so immense that she said she didn't even know how... She didn't even know why I was doing it. And I explained to her that I'm with a church. And she said she may come down and visit. So throughout the week, that was at the beginning of the week, and I continued to pray for her throughout the week. I didn't see her at the church. But with the mission that Steel Meadow has to reach the community, I hope, pray, and believe that the community where she lives will be reached. One other incredible part of the week was the youth group I was placed with. All of you guys, I was able to see grow in ways like Tracy be stretched very uncomfortably. I saw people give testimonies that I didn't think would give testimonies. And when I saw them raise their hand, I was like, and just being able to see that they're throughout the week, they were able to change and see that they have nothing to be afraid of. We are there to love them and be there with them. And as one of the other leaders, Dustin, put it, the sins behind us. We're not supposed to dwell on what we've done, but dwell on what God has for us. So after some of us got that point and were able to share our testimonies and then be surrounded by people who are ready to love on, they're just waiting for you to finish testimony and run up. One of the other cool things that we did, I don't know who all stayed for the produce giveaway. There were a few that stayed for the produce giveaway. We were eating breakfast, and this guy pulls up, backs up doors. He starts unloading the pallets of, and we're like, do we have to do something with this, or do we just leave it here? And so we all were just kind of like sitting there watching him, and they're like, okay, everybody, get in groups. These bananas need to be one bunch to a bag, then three bunches to a bag, and they kept upping it because they're like, oh, we have a lot more bananas than we thought. And then we have baskets and baskets of corn, and we have zucchini and stuff I never think I'd eat, and there's snap peas, and they had dandelion and all this stuff, and we bagged it up so that it could be ready to go when people would come in, and people would come in and they would sign their name and they would get for what they needed. And these aren't people who have a great income and can still support them. These are people who are out of money. Some of them are, as the lady explained it, they are finishing up their paycheck from the month, and they just paid their bills, and they're running short. And they do this, and she said that at the end, they'll get text calls saying how they were able to share what they got with everyone around. And I was sitting there, I'm like, they don't have enough food to feed themselves, but yet they're sharing it with somebody else. Sharing it, a lot of it was produce, and they're sharing produce. And the reason they're willing to share it is they love the people around them, and they realize they've been given a gift. She also said that they don't really know how to cook their given. Like people, I know how to freeze food, to my mother, and these people don't know how to freeze it. So they're willing to say, come on, eat this food before it goes bad. And so they're working now on teaching people how to use food they're given so that it doesn't spoil. And I've lived in a home. I've been taught how to can, cook, and freeze all that food and make the most of what I have. And see that they don't know, it's heartbreaking. And I think at the beginning of the week, we went to this place called My Brother's Keeper. But I think everybody got to go. Everybody got Anna to go. Blake didn't. We went to this place called My Brother's Keeper, and it's a kitchen where they serve lunch every day. And on Saturdays, they have like cold cut meat, but they don't serve on Sundays. But they serve this just a lunch. And what you'll do is we'll get all the food ready. I was working with a guy named Tom. We would fill up glasses of water. People would come through the door, take a seat, and give them water. A plate would be brought out to them. The meal would be blessed, and they would sit there and eat. We had the chance to walk around and say hi, chat with them. And afterwards, we got to meet the executive director of My Brother's Keeper, and she taught me one of the most valuable lessons. She said, first words she said were, the backstory. You don't know the backstory. And she says, we don't want to know the backstory. And for me, that's so hard to, we say don't judge, but when you look at a person, what do you first do? For me, my scientific mind, I sit there and assess, just sit there and think. We can't do that. How can we show the love of Christ if we aren't loving on them? And after that day, I was able to go throughout the week and think, instead of, why is the person here doing, I thought, how can I show Christ's love to them? And I hope I do lose that. That was probably one of the most important lessons I've learned. Besides that was family and getting to know people. No idea who they are, where they're from, and just loving on them, period. So to say whether or not this week was a good week, definitely. I just pray that the stuff we've learned, people have seen, can make impact so great that not only won't we change, but we won't want to back to the life of judging, second-guessing, or living in fear.
There is a ton of stuff that we could share with you beyond this, and I want to, obviously, we can have opportunities. I know some of them said, well, I'm not sure I want to share here, but maybe if we sat down and had something to eat or whatever, you know, I might be able to, like, give a little bit. And I hope that for those of you that have students that went, they didn't just come home and it was fun, you know, off they go, because I know some of them are really tired and needed to get some rest. But here's some of the things that you know, Nate did a fantastic job of really kind of hitting on some of the high points. He really did. One of the things that I want you guys to know is, first and foremost, you have incredible kids. You have some wonderful, I really shouldn't use the word kids, they're young adults, and they have the ability to move into the community as adults. It's coming. They're doing it. So if there's any question in your mind about whether or not the future generation, at least within this church, is moving forward, yes, they are. And I know they are. And I know Pastor Mike has seen it. The second thing is you have an incredible senior pastor. He did some amazing stuff, okay? Now, granted, I realize that for some of you, you may or may not know, Pastor Mike served at Still Meadow for many years. But he quickly was like, I know where that is. Boom, and off he goes to, you know, to get something for us. And that's not to say that I never saw him. There was just many a times where it was like, we're going to need to do this, and this. He got a shopping list on Monday, and he and Tracy were like, gone. And then they come back, they're like, okay, we got this. Oh, I didn't get that. Okay, boom, and off he goes again, you know. And then the other thing is every single one of them, I mean, there were times where I could see the backstory. I could see in the sense of somebody looking at me going, isn't this great? I got this kid on my back. I'm going to die. You know, so they were, but they didn't show that to the kids. They just kept going. All right. And sometimes even to the point where I had to say, guys, if we don't go to sleep, I really felt bad because I had to tell them that not going to sleep on Friday night was a hazard to their health. And they kind of looked all at me like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? I might crash the car when I fall asleep. Oh, you know, so there's a lot more to this, and we certainly would love to share that. But the important thing is that in every single situation, there were many of these students that were pushed way beyond what they normally do, okay? Guys, I already told you this. I'll say it again so that your parents and your church family knows. I'm very proud of you. Amen. I am very proud of you for what you've done. Some it almost seemed as if they, like, it just came to life where I saw things in them that I'd never seen before, whether it was serving at the soup kitchen, helping out at the nursing home, prayer walking, giving away produce, doing VBS, playing games, doing crafts. Nate and Noah, we mean to need to change this around. This really isn't working. We can do that. And then they went to help with taking a lesson that maybe not wasn't doing so well, and they just made it alive to the point where now the kids seem to be more engaged in it. And that was awesome to see that happen. So, yeah, there was that time at the beginning where it was like, I want to go home. It really was for a moment that feeling. But they didn't quit. And I'm so thankful that they didn't. And I think they are, too. I'm going to leave with that and just say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for, you know, supporting us financially. I would say your support financially and with prayer was worth it. You did a lot to let these students go and do what they did by doing that. Last of all, and most important, thank you for trusting me. Trust is not easily gained. Trust to allow your students to go with me. Trust to get the text that goes, I'm losing my phone now. You know, and they're not going to let me have it. And saying, okay, all right. Because Baltimore is not Ashland. I get it. And there was a day where there was a group went out to prayer walk, and there was a guy that was not very nice to them while they were prayer walking and picking up trash. I think it was picking up trash, actually. And quickly, the leaders moved in and made sure that they knew that they were protected, taken care of. So thank you for trusting myself, Pastor Mike, Tracy, the leaders there. These guys will tell you there's an incredible bond that they built with those other two youth groups. I mean, we've got people that are going, we're going to see you in Kansas City in a year, right? Because we're going to be looking for you, holding up signs saying, where's my Ohio family? All right, that's how close they got in a quick period of time. That was probably the neatest thing, and I think it was Nate, you might have said it. Somebody said it in there. The first day it was Christ Community here, it was Staten Island over here, and it was Montgomery, which was from New Jersey, over here. They didn't sit together. They sat, you know, for lunch. And I think it was Nate that said, there was a chair in between each youth group. It was like, don't pass this line. You know, there was that, like, and but at the end, it wasn't like that at all. They were all sitting amongst each other. They were crossed. They didn't care that they weren't with their youth group. And they made some incredible friends in that. Amen? Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. It's your turn. Is there something that you want to testify on?
Thank you. Let's give our youth, Pastor Peter, a hand. They really deserve it. Tracy, for going and giving up that comfort zone, learning to be stretched. I am aware of our time, so I think we're just going to close out in prayer. Those of you who want to testify, we'll have another opportunity to do that. But I just want to encourage you to go down, grab a sandwich. Some of the youth, I have a lot. They all have stories to tell. Just up front here is a little harder to do. I want to end us, though, with one thought. And I challenge the youth at the conference, or at Bump, with this ideal, is that at the end of the week, they come home. But all the children that they impact are still there. At the end of the week, they cleaned up, straightened up, as my wife says, redded up the room. And they came home. And Still Metal is still there. Still Metal Evangelical Free Church is our denomination, host Bump. It's gone through a journey of its own. It's down to about maybe 30 people. There's one lady every 2 weeks brings her $3 tithe in, and she gives. That's literally her widow's mite. The pastor's wife a few weeks ago ran into one of the members of 7-Eleven. He hadn't given his tithe that week. Reaches in his pocket. She think God would mind change. 31 cents. It's all he had. You know, here we are in a church. We're catching up on our budget this year. We're on track to pay off our mortgage by the end. Our people are giving to that. We have the resources to be able to youth group, to have a youth pastor, to send our youth group out. We are so blessed. Just want to encourage us, pray for Still Metal, for work that continues, seeds planted by the youth that were there this week, that God would bear fruit, that he would protect and continue to sustain that church and the impact they're having, a community that truly needs. They're having a powerful impact on multiple levels. But let me just close the prayer. And do we have a closing? We'll close with. Father, we thank you again for these youth and for their willingness, those that shared, those who will share one-on-one or another way, for the impact that has been on them. But we also pray, Father, for the impact that they have had there in Baltimore and at Still Metal Evangelical Free Church, for the church, three youth groups that were there. We pray your pouring and your blessing on Still Metal Evangelical Free Church, Pastor Dave, and the congregation struggling week by week just to continue to keep the doors open. Pray for their finances and the impact they're having in the community with the food bank and other ministries. We pray for each child. Lord, as I say that image, it flushed through my mind. The children came night after night to be some a little more challenging than others. Lord, you know each one. You know the seed. Pray a hedge of protection. Many of those children are locked in homes all day because parents don't let them, but they're afraid. They only come out at night. So Lord, I pray protection for your heart towards the revealed church and fall in love. Thank you, Lord. We ask blessed in Christ.